Hey, so good to be with you guys here this weekend. Had a chance already to be with a bunch of you yesterday. One of the things that we're doing, my dad was alluding to, is that we're actually, our organization, our ministry, is we're working with churches to help them reach young adults. And one of the things we want to do is create some assessment tools for different churches. So I called him, I don't know, maybe 6 weeks ago and just said, hey, you want to be a guinea pig for us, you know, and can I do this for you guys? And then we'll, you know, kind of tweak some of our systems. And so we've had a chance to meet with a bunch of people yesterday just to think through strategic ways to reach college and young adults, even in the Grand Rapids area. So one of the invitations I want to make, if you are 18 to 29, single, we'd love to have a conversation with you after church here. In fact, we're going to feed a bunch of you, and so if you're available just to talk for about an hour after the service, we'd love to just kind of chat and hear kind of your perspective and on the community and different things that are going on, so it'd be really fun to be a part of. So real quick, I want to give an update, and then I'll pray, and then we'll jump in together. It's been a great fall for our myself and our family, our organization. Lots of traveling. We've had the chance, we were here a few, maybe like a month ago, working with some teams of leader. Your young adult leadership team was a part of that training we did, so it was fun to spend the weekend with them. We did a theology intensive in Dallas where people around the country come. I was in Atlanta a couple weeks ago, and then in 2 weeks I'll be in Las Vegas and Reno working with the Southern Baptist denomination for reaching college students and young adults in Nevada. So that'll be a really fun conversation to be a part of. So yeah, let's jump in together. Hebrews chapter 11, if you have your Bibles, to begin to go in that direction. We're going to spend a few minutes here this morning. Can I be honest with you? Can we kind of shoot straight for a second? So flying in on Friday and thinking through, beginning to think through the sermon and preaching here with you guys this morning. And it was like this, oh man, moments of, because it was like this, I knew what we were going to talk about. I knew the topic was going to be faith. But God began to ask me a question. He's like, is this sermon for people, or maybe you need to preach yourself this sermon as well? You know, because I've been kind of in this season, even for our family, where there's just been some difficulties. You know, there's been some financial difficulties. We've lost a couple of our supporters. There's been some family difficulties. One of my daughters is struggling right now. And so we're just trying to really navigate life, and it can be hard sometimes, you know. It can be hard to be people of faith as we begin to think about that. And so I want to think about that here this morning, but here's my heart for us, is I really want us to think about, in our time together, about what does God want to do, right? And so the tension in any Sunday morning, anytime you gather together with a church, is you can come in and just like try to transfer information. But the hope is that we would actually become different people, that our lives and our hearts would be transformed here together. And so I'm going to pray just for us again. I want to pray that there would be just like this transformation, that God would do something only that he can do. Like, I can't manipulate, I can't change hearts, I can't do, that's really what God can do. And I even need to pray for my heart this morning, that it would really begin to move us, move me towards action and moving forward. So let's pray together. Lord, as we begin to open up your word, will you just speak to us in a powerful way? And Lord, we want to hear from you, but even beyond that, God, we want our lives to be changed. And would you do something only that you could do as you begin to stir in our hearts, as you begin to stir in us, God, of what it looks like to become people of faith, to move forward in faith. And we love you so much. In your son's name, amen. So I was thinking about even my kids growing up. And so some of you who have young kids right now, you know, one of the things, if you're in Minnesota, if they're around water, you got to teach them to swim. You know what I'm talking about? Like, you got to teach your kids how to swim. My parents were on a lake. My mother-in-law had a pool. So even early on for my kids, it was important for them to learn how to swim. And so I really begin to think about this picture, because I think there's a couple things when we think about faith that are challenges for us. And I'm going to come back to that story here in a second. Is I think the first problem that we really begin to have is that we live in a culture and in a society that pushes comfort, convenience, and safety, right? And so, I mean, we hear this all the time. Like, you have, even my daughter the other day, she's like, I'm driving her somewhere, and she's like, they had the middle school counselors come in and basically like tell the students, well, you have to have your life figured out all right now. You know, you got to have everything set in stone. You got to be prepared. You got to make sure. And she's like, I don't know what I want to do when I grow up. And I'm like, you're in eighth grade. Come on. You know, like, but there's this kind of this sense, even in our culture, where it's like, we really, all of us, we love safety. We love comfort. We love convenience. Here's the second problem in faith. The second problem in faith is often we don't believe that God is going to do what he says he's going to do, right? I mean, we read the scriptures and we're like, okay, God, you say that, but do you really mean it? Like, is that something that, you know, will you follow through on that? And I was thinking about this story that I started about swimming. And so I don't know if you remember this with your kids. Maybe you're a little bit older and you remember this when they're young, or you're in the stage right now where I wanted my kids to learn how to swim. And so what I would do is I would get them to the edge of the pool, and then I would wade out maybe like 3 or 4 feet behind. And what would I ask them to do? Jump, right? And I'd be like, jump. You know, dad's going to catch you. Why don't you jump? And I'll let you go under, and then I'll swoop you up, and then we'll do it again. I just want you to get used to jumping. And so my kids would, in trepidation, would get to the edge of the pool or edge of the dock or whatever it was. And there are two things that would go in through their mind. The first one is they would look down at the dock or the deck or, you know, where they were at, and they would say, okay, this is safe. This is comfortable. This is known. But the water is not, right? I can breathe here, but if I go under the water, I know that I will no longer be able to breathe. And so there's like this tension in them, and I'm saying, jump, and they're looking at the deck and saying, no, I kind of like it here better than I like it there, and I don't really like going underwater. And so there's this tension, right? And there's a second thing that's going on in their mind when I say jump. It's this question of like, okay, is dad going to really do what he says he's going to do? Like, is he going to catch me? What if he doesn't catch me? What if he forgets about me? What if he walks away and I jump and then I can't swim? Like, is dad really going to do what he says he's going to do? Now, if you think about this, this is the same for us. Right? There are moments in our life where God is asking us to jump. He's asking us to take steps of faith. And there's this tension of like, okay, I know this part right here. I know that it's comfortable. I know that it's safe. I know how it works. But I'm not quite sure over there if I jump, if everything is going to be okay. And so there's this tension in us. And the second one is this question of, is dad going to do what he says he's going to do? He says he's going to catch me. He says he's going to be with me, but what if he forgets about me? What if he decides not to? What if he decides he doesn't care? Like, is God going to do what he says he's going to do? Hebrews chapter 11. Let's spend some time here together this morning. So what I want to do is I want to encourage you. I'm going to take some snippets and some highlights from Hebrews chapter 11. And we're going to kind of zero in on a few key verses, but I really want to encourage you to at some point this week to read all of Hebrews chapter 11. In fact, here's what Hebrews chapter 11 is. Hebrews chapter 11 is like the hall of fame of faith. It's a whole chapter dedicated towards people who in faith followed God. In faith, they responded to what God had called them to do. Now look at verse 1 together. Here's how it starts out. And this is really like the highlight to this whole chapter. It says in verse 1, now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. I'm going to read that one more time. Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. So this is what faith is. It's this ability or this confidence in the things that we are hoping for, and this belief in the future of things that sometimes are hazy, sometimes are unseen, sometimes what we don't know. So here's what it goes. It's going to talk about some people of faith. Go to verse 3 together. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what was seen was not made out of what was visible. But verse 4, by faith, Abel brought God a better offering than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as righteous. Verse 5, by faith, Enoch was taken from this life, so he did not experience death. Verse 7, by faith, Noah, when warned about the things not yet seen, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. Verse 8, by faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. Verse 20, by faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau in regard to their future. Verse 21, by faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed all of Joseph's sons. 23, by faith, Moses, parents hid him for 3 months after he was born because they saw that he was no ordinary child. Verse 24, by faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Verse 29, by faith, people passed through the Red Sea and on dry land. Verse 30, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell. And then 31, the prostitute Rahab, she welcomed spies by faith and was not killed even though. And so it goes on, like all these stories of people of faith. And the question I want to wrestle for us is say, okay, what does it look like for you and me to be people of faith? Here's what I believe. Is I believe even this morning that there are people in this room that God is asking you to take a step of faith. And there's a sense of kind of where your palms are beginning to sweat and your heart's beginning to beat of like, okay, is he talking to me? Because you know that this week or this month that God has been speaking to you, asking you to take steps of faith. And the question for us is, what did these people do? What did they have? Like, what was their deal? Why could they take steps of faith? And for me, sometimes I get paralyzed by my inability to step and to move forward. So what I want to do is I want to look at 5 key words. And I'm going to boil these down into words so that you can remember some of these key words of why these people were able to take steps of faith and to follow God. So this is going to be like a participation event. So I'm going to be asking you these words, and you got to remember them. So if you want to be jotting them down, if you don't have a good memory, there's your hint. Okay, so here's the first word. The first word is love. What's the first word? Okay, that wasn't very good. I gave you a whole ramp-up time that I warned you that this was going to happen. And it was like, ooh. Okay, so let's try it again. What's the first word? Love. Love. Okay, so here's what we want to talk about. When we talk about faith, we need to understand that the foundation of that faith, the beginning of it, starts with us loving and pursuing God. That I can't just try to will you to be faithful people, to live in faith. Faith starts with first a love and a pursuit of God. Now, let's think about a couple of these characters, right? Let's think about Noah. In Numbers chapter 12, we hear about Noah, and he talks about that Noah had such an intimacy with God that he was considered the most humble man on the face of the earth. Or think about the story of Joseph, where he's in Egypt and his brothers finally realize that it's his brother that they had thought was dead for all these years. And Joseph's response was, what you thought was for harm, God made for good. That he loved me and sustained me. Think about Joshua as he's beginning to pass the torch of leadership. What he communicates in Joshua chapter 23 is that make sure when you go into the land, make sure you don't intermarry with other people. Because what is going to happen is your heart is going to be drawn away from God through those relationships, and you're going to lose your first love. The foundation, the very start of these people in Hebrews chapter 11, all started with this word love. It started with them loving and pursuing who God was. Now, here's the question, though. Is I think that there's a question, this tension, what I would say, between information and revelation. Here's what I mean by that. It's this idea that we have information of God's love, but as he revealed his love to us, right? Because here's an example. Like, here's my phone, right? And we have more information than at any point in history. In fact, this phone has more computing power than my first 3 computers combined, right? And we're talking like old, like E machines. Remember those days? You know, where if somebody attached a picture, you're like, oh, my word. I'm going to go have dinner and come back 45 minutes later because there's a picture attached to this email. Like, those, like, you think about that. We have more information than any point in history. And the question is, has that information changed us? Has that caused us to love God more? We have more information, more blogs, more posts, more podcasts, more articles, more books, more information. And I look at that information and say, okay, why is that? It's not information that changes our heart. It's revelation that changes our heart. We become as God exposes who he is to us and reveals his love for us, it begins to change us. It begins to mold us and to shape us. I think about this with my kids. You know, as I'm having conversations with my kids, do I want them just to intellectually know that dad loves them? No, I want them to feel it. Like, I want them to understand in the depths of their soul, the foundation of faith is love. So what's the first word?
Love.
Love. Here's the second word, is connect. What's the second word? Okay, first word, second word. Here's what happens. Whenever we love somebody deeply, we connect with their heart. How many of you are married in here? How many of you have ever been at that point where you can finish the sentence of your spouse? You're just like, oh, I know what they're going to say, right? I've heard it so many times. I understand who they are. I understand where this is going. There's been so many times I've experienced that. And you who are married know this. As your love grows, you begin to connect with your spouse. There begins to be an intimacy and a shared heart and a shared passion. Well, the same is with God. When our love grows for him and we understand and we love him more and more, we begin to connect with his heart. We begin to see the world the way that God sees the world. Begin to see our neighbors the way that God sees our neighbors. We begin to see the barista at Caribou the way that God sees the barista. We begin to see our coworkers the way that God, as we see these things on the news and as our hearts are broken, we know that God's heart is broken as well. As we love God, we begin to connect with him. See, intimacy always moves us to connection. So the question is what is the heart of God? Right? What is that heart? Let me give you a couple passages. Genesis chapter 3. We see God's heart as he says that he is going to reconcile people and creation back to him. We see as Jesus shares in Matthew chapter 22 that we're supposed to love God with all our heart, soul, and mind, and strength. And his desire is that we would love our neighbor as ourselves. Matthew 28, that we would love and invest our lives into other people. John chapter 17, that there would be an invitation into the love relationship between the Father and between the Son. Acts chapter 1, that you be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and the entire world. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, that we are ministers of reconciliation. See, as we begin to see those things, we begin to connect with the heart of God. We begin to feel the things that God feels. We begin to see the way that God, we begin to respond the way that God wants us to respond, because love always moves us to connection. Love, connect. What's the first word? Second word. Okay, one more time. Love. First word? First word? Second word. Okay, here's the third word. Third word is believe. What's the third word? Okay, first word. Second word? Third word? Second word? First word? Nice, okay. Here's the third word, is believe. When we love God and we believe, we begin to connect with his heart, we begin to believe that God is going to do what he says he's going to do. See, here's the deal. It's so much of faith, we skip the first two words. Right? It's like, okay, here we go. Everybody put your hand in. We're going to be people of faith. Ready? Break. Go. And how well does that work? Okay, try real hard to be people of faith. Like, muster up all your strength and think positively about be people of faith. Imagine and visualize being people of faith and go out and be people of faith. How does it work? It doesn't work. Because we forgot the first two words. It starts with loving with God, moving us to connect with his heart that allows us to believe that God is going to do what he says he's going to do. Look at verse 8 of Hebrews chapter 11. Here's what it says, is by faith Abraham, when called to go to a place that he would later receive his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in a promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were the heirs with him in the same promise. For he was looking forward to a city with foundation whose architect and builder is God. And even by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children, check this out, because she considered him faithful who made the promise. She considered him faithful who made the promise. Like, why could she do that? Why could Abraham do that? Because there was a love for God that connected their hearts together, that moved them to believe that God was going to do what he says he was going to do. Do we believe that Dad is going to do what he says he's going to do? And so the question is what does God say? What does he say? Now check this out. Just jot some of these passages down. Look at them later. 2 Peter chapter 1. Because of his glorious and excellence, he has given us great and precious promises. These promises to enable you to share in his divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They're plans for good and not for disaster. Matthew chapter 11, come to me all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Isaiah 40, he gives power to the weak and strength to the powerless. Even youths will become weak and tired, and young men will fall in exhaustion, but those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. Philippians 4, and the same God who cares for you will supply you with all of your needs for his glorious riches. Romans chapter 8, no, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours in Christ. Proverbs chapter 1, but all you listen to me will live in peace and untroubled by fear or harm. John chapter 14, I'm leaving you a gift, a precious mind and heart, the Holy Spirit. Matthew chapter 6, don't worry about tomorrow, what you'll eat or drink, about your body, but seek first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added to you. You can go on and on and on and on in Scripture. The question is, do we believe that God is going to do what he says he's going to do? We read these things, right? I've studied these things since VBS. Since kids' ministry. And there's still this question to me, do I believe that God is going to do what he says he's going to do? It starts with loving God that moves us to connect with his heart, that gives us the ability to believe. First word. Second word. Third word. Oh, that was good. Good job, Larry. You're ahead. You get the A+. Here's the fourth word. The fourth word is future. What's the fourth word? Okay. Here's what I mean by future. We understand that this place is not our home. Check this out. Check out verse 13 of Hebrews chapter 11. For all these people were still living by faith when they died. What? They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. See, here's the deal for some of you this morning. You think this place is your home. You're putting all of your stock, all of your investment, all of your time, all of your energy into this place. And here's what the Bible says. It's a vapor. It's a mist. It's here one moment and then it's gone. Because as people of faith, what we understand is we have a future perspective that this place is not our home. That we're moving towards something else where we'll be reconciled back to the Creator God, the Creator of the universe, be in his presence the way that God intended for it to be. That this place is not our home. How many of you have been on a missions trip before? a mission trip, people. One of my favorite mission trips of all time. My junior year playing basketball in college, our team went to the Philippines. And for 2.5 weeks, we're in the Philippines. We're playing all these city teams and helping churches. And it was an unbelievable 2.5 weeks. I mean, I still remember like swimming in the ocean with all of my teammates. I remember how amazing that was. I remember a couple times walking down the dirt roads and looking up, and there were so many stars in the sky. It was just amazing. I remember being there and sharing the gospel with these kids around me and watching them accept a love of Jesus Christ, put their faith in Christ. I remember encouraging the churches and loving those people as they tirelessly ministered to their communities. There was so much about good that was about the 2.5 weeks. I love that time, but that place was not my home. It was just a moment. It was just a blip. It was God called me to do certain things, but I understood that that was just a moment and there was a future where I would go back to my home. And some of you need to hear that this morning, that this place is not our home. It's because it changes becoming people of faith. Because if you begin to walk forward and God calls you to take steps of faith and you understand that this place is temporary, it changes our response. But it starts with love that moves us to connect, allowing us to believe, having a future perspective. Okay, let's do it again. First word, second word, third word, fourth word, future. Yeah. Here's the last word, trust. The last word is trust. What's the fifth word? Here's what I mean by trust. We trust God for whatever the outcome is. We trust God for whatever the outcome is. Now, here's the crazy thing about Hebrews chapter 11. It would be awesome if they would stop about 75% of the way through. But there's kind of this last part of Hebrews chapter 11 that gives us a little bit different perspective. Look at verse 32. It says, the writer of Hebrews says, "And what more shall I say? I don't have time to tell you about Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, about David and Samuel and the prophets who by faith conquered kingdoms." So you say, man, I don't even have the time. I don't have the paper. I could go on and on and on and on telling you about more stories and more people who live by faith, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of flames and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned into strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies, women receiving back their dead, raised to life again. How many of you would like to see that story, that movie, huh? Like, that thing puts Braveheart to shame, right? Like, amazing. Like, shutting the mouths of lions and battles and conquering and, like, all this people who are dead coming back to life. That would be an amazing thing to be a part of, but it goes on. And it said that there were others who were tortured, refusing to be released so they might gain even a better inheritance. Some faced jeers and flogging, even chains and imprisonment. They were put to death by stoning, and they were sawed in two. They were killed by the sword. And when they went about in sheepskins and goat skins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. Look at verse 38. And the world was not worthy of them. This is a crazy part of Hebrews chapter 11. Because there are people who live by faith who amazing things happened. They got to conquer armies. They got to shut the mouths of lions. They got to see God come through in amazing ways. But there are other people who persecuted and mistreated and sawed in two and put off to, like, crazy stuff that happened to them. And yet it says the world was not worthy of them. They were still living in faith. These people trusted God for whatever the outcome was. Man, that's hard to look at. That's hard to swallow. And say, so what does it look like for me to live by faith? Because sometimes that might mean where I get to rout foreign armies and conquer kingdoms and minister justice and see amazing things happen. And I'm going to say, praise you, God. And sometimes living by faith is being persecuted and mistreated and gossiped about and slandered. And I'm going to say, praise you, God, because I'm living by faith. But here's the deal. We can't do that without the other, like the foundation. Because it starts with love that moves us to connect, that allows us to believe that God is going to do what he says he's going to do. And we have a future perspective that we ultimately can trust him for whatever the outcome is. First word, second word, third word, fourth word, fifth word. Yeah. That's what it looks like to be people of faith. And I know even this morning there are people in here who God is asking you to take steps of faith. And here's what I want to tell you. It starts with loving God. It starts with digging in and knowing him deeply that will allow you to connect with him so you can believe that he's going to be faithful and do what he says he's going to do. But in that, we know that this place is not our home. And we can trust him for whatever the outcome is of living by faith. See, my prayer for myself, my prayer for you, is we would be people who live those words. We'd be people who would embody those words. We'd be people who would be people of faith. That as we're standing at the edge of the pool, and say, you know what? I know the world tells me that comfort and security and all is good, but that's not where it's at. And I know the person there asking me to jump, I know Dad is going to do what he said he's going to do. Let's pray together. God, just thank you for this morning. Thank you for your word that challenges us, that pushes us, that allows us to understand you in a deeper way. And I want to pray, I know, God, that there are people in this room this morning that you are calling to take steps of faith. You're asking them to step out and to trust you and to believe. And God, I believe, I pray that that belief would start with love. God, a deep, intimate, passionate love for you. God, and in that love, we would connect with your heart. We'd see the world the way that you see the world. We desire to respond the way that you respond. God, and through that, we would believe you. But even in the midst of that belief, God, we understand that this place is not our home. That we have a future perspective. We have a future guarantee and promise. And because of that future, we can trust you. Whatever that outcome is, God, as we walk forward in faith and amazing things happen, we're going to say praise you. As we walk forward in faith and it's difficult and hard and we're trying to figure out what that looks like, we're going to say praise you as well. God, thank you for what you are doing in us. Would you continue to lead us and guide us? We love you. In your son's name, amen.